We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. In today's news, a Kenosha, Wisconsin car dealership is burned to the ground, all inventory included, and a nearby church is attacked even though having a Black Lives Matter sign up. Never bow a knee to the rage mob, never, because in doing so you expose your own neck and they will quickly have your head. What would Edmund Burke and Aristotle say about all of this mess? We'll talk about this and more. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. Today's story focuses on the work of Edmund Burke again, because I didn't get time yesterday in my broadcast to finish what I wanted to say about him and his writing and his prophetic work. And we're going to go back even further, about 3,000 years earlier, and that's to Aristotle, the very father of politics. We're going to do this in response to what we are seeing every night in the news. This stuff like burning down entire car dealerships in Kenosha, Wisconsin. This wanton destruction from Portland to Kenosha to Baltimore to New York to Indianapolis to Minneapolis. I mean, Tulsa. This terrible hate and violence and death. Yes, people are dying. Death and destruction. This is the rule of the mob. This is the rule of the mob that David Horowitz talks about in his intellectual autobiography, Left Illusions. This is radical democracy that Aristotle warned of and our founding fathers eschewed. This is life. This is what life is like and will be like for all of us under a Biden-Harris AOC regime. This is your future and mine if we don't stop this nonsense now. Take the famous song that I don't like, but John Lennon's Imagine, and just tweak it a bit. Imagine there's no police. It's easy if you try. Well, you don't even have to imagine it. These stories are showing you exactly what a culture and a country devolves to if you don't have law and order and respect for the higher virtues and the integrity and dignity of man. Edmund Burke wrote about it 300 years ago. Aristotle wrote about it 3,300 years ago. This is today's story. This is today's news. This is today's edition of The Rebellion. But first, remember that if you want to text in your questions to The Rebellion, you can do so at 918-756-3646. You can also contact me via my website, DrEverettPiper.com. Communicate with me there. You can listen to The Rebellion live Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. Again, 7:30 a.m. Can't say a.m. You can listen to The Rebellion live at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on KOKL Radio, 106.3 on your dial. You can do that, of course, if you live within the broadcast range of KOKL 1240 on your dial. And that's basically south of Tulsa in the Okmulgee area. Or you can listen to it live in the same manner anywhere in the nation if you just do it online. And that's by going to listentothebrew.com. Remember that my podcast is The Rebellion, and it's on the Washington Times webpage. It's one of their featured podcasts, so you can listen to it there anytime you wish. Go back and get some of the archive back issues. Also, my writing for the Washington Times is my weekly column. It comes out Friday, Saturday, or Sundays. They always publish it on the weekends. All right, let's get back to today's show. We'll talk about you becoming subscribing members to The Rebellion at the time of the break, at mid-show. Let's get back to the topic. So yesterday, I spent the entire show. I spent the entire show talking about Edmund Burke and his prophetic wisdom, his challenge of the progressive premise of subjectivity, his calling out of the left for its arrogance and its chronological snobbery, the juvenile confidence of everything in everything that was new. Edmund Burke was prescient in telling us about the disregard of the old in favor of the new. I had to end the end by talking about this one thing that Burke said, and I quoted him, and this was the end of the show, but I'm going to go on and give you a little bit more Edmund Burke to set the stage for Aristotle in today's show. So this is the quote I ended with in yesterday's show. The most obvious lesson of history is that the problem is man. The problem is sin. It isn't race, it isn't socioeconomics, it isn't poverty or wealth or education, it's human nature, it's sin. This is proven empirically by history. Burke says, in history, a great volume is unrolled for our instruction, drawing the wisdom from the past errors and the infirmities of mankind. History consists in the great part of the miseries brought upon the world by pride and ambition and avarice and revenge and lust and sedition and hypocrisy and all the train of disorderly appetites. That's what Burke said of history. In other words, if you want to set the stage for the present, always look over your shoulder to the past, because the lessons of history have endured for a reason. Especially they're grounded in reality rather than in abstract theories and fancy feelings and opinions. No, they're grounded in the concrete and the absolute. They're not subjective constructs of postmodern elitists and know-it-all. Vice is a fact. It's the most provable fact of all of history, a fact found in all people, male, female, black, white, rich, and poor. It's sin, and sin is the problem. One more time from Burke. In history, a great volume is unrolled for our instruction, drawing the wisdom from the past errors and infirmities of mankind. History consists for the great part of the miseries brought upon the world by pride and ambition and avarice and revenge and lust and sedition and hypocrisy, all the train of disorderly appetites. Great wisdom from Burke, 300 years ago. So more on Burke. Because of the time I had at the end of the show yesterday, I had to end on that quote, obviously. But I want to talk today a little bit more about him. And then I'm going to go back to the very man whom some consider to be the inventor of the concept of politics itself. And that's Aristotle. So we will talk about Aristotle's classic, The Politics, his classic, The Politics, as the backdrop of what you see in the rhetoric and the leaders of today's Democratic Party, Kamala Harris, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden. Yeah, and I'm also very intentionally putting them ahead of Joe Biden in this list. And why am I doing that? I put him last on purpose because he's not leading these people, they're leading him. Biden is just a shell of a man, with no soul and no mind, unfortunately. He's a cardboard cutout with no substance. They're propping him up in front of a camera and they want to keep him in his basement. They don't want you to engage with him or him with you because he's losing it. He will be declared unfit to serve by the people I put on this list before him within weeks or months after he's elected, if we're stupid enough as a nation to let that happen. Mark my words. Mark my words. I'm going to go on the show. If he's elected, he will be declared unfit to serve. Unfit to serve by Harris, AOC, Pelosi, and all the rest who are rallying to his election right now. But let's go back to Burke, and then we'll go on to Aristotle. Burke, very quickly. Remember that Burke's writing was about the French Revolution. It was in response to the subjectivism of the Enlightenment thinkers such as Rousseau. Burke was saying that if any society arrogantly disregards all the traditions, morals, and mores, and the standards that served as its foundation in the first place, that that culture is doomed to vice and violence. He warned of this. He argued for reality rather than emotions, what's real and substantive rather than postmodern constructs. He believed in the objective fact of and the science, the objective fact and the science of history. Yes, history is a fact. History is essentially a science because it's going back and evaluating the facts of the past, and it's codifying them and formalizing them as lessons for the present and the future. Burke knew that man was sinful. I already talked about that. That was the quote I used. Not good. He understood that the boundaries and definitions needed to be there and needed to be conserved if we are going to be a free people and a people that understands the worth and dignity of the human being. Burke was the precursor to Chesterton, who said the same thing in his Paradox of Freedom and Fences and Liberty Law that I've talked about on the show. Burke was basically warning all of us that if you kill the culture and kill the church, that the next inevitable step will be to kill a lot of people, because there's nothing left to restrain you from doing that. Look at what's going on in Kenosha. Look at what's going on in Portland. If you kill the church and kill the culture, the very foundations of the culture, its icons, its precepts, its seminal documents, its statues, its monuments. If you kill the culture and kill the church, the next inevitable step will be to kill a lot of people. History is a fact, and it should be honored, not deconstructed. Okay? That's Burke. He also argued that it was against and in ignorance of the wisdom of history. All of this was against and in ignorance of the wisdom of history. And in doing that, he predicted that the French Revolution would unfold. French Revolution, they declared themselves to be a republic of virtue, and then they proceeded to act with viciousness that shocked the world. The source of their evil, what was it? Their rejection of Christianity and their rejection of Christian virtue. They killed the church and they killed the culture. The rejection of the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of salvation. If they could just destroy Christianity, they could construct their own social, let's put in parentheses there, socialist utopia from the ashes of the church's and the culture's ruin. All the problems of the world would be solved and they would be the new secular gods. Burke called it the spirit of profanation. Nothing was sacred anymore. Everything was profaned. Sex, sanctity, structure, morality, male, female, children, adults, life and death. Nothing was sacred during the French Revolution. Nothing. Not the church, not the guillotine priests and nuns, not the massacred women and children. Nothing was sacred. Not property, not tradition, not customs, not manners, not laws. Black Lives Matter, remember this, seeks to dismantle, another word for destroy, family, faith, and everything that stands in its way. This is the work of the Jacobins. This is the precursor to another revolution, a French Revolution, blood flowing in the streets. If you defund the police and you destroy private businesses, you desecrate statues, you defame the church, what's left? Death and destruction. Everything must go. Burke called it the black and savage atrocity of the mind. This superseded what he called the common feelings of nature and all sentiments of morality and religion. That's Burke. What happened? France got Robespierre and the Reign of Terror. Social chaos, mayhem, and then tyranny. A vacuum is always filled, and if you've got chaos and you've got anarchy, anarchy is always replaced by a despot, by a dictator, by a strong man who comes in to solve all the problems and make sense out of the mess. So they had mayhem, they had social chaos, then tyranny, Robespierre and the Reign of Terror and the guillotine, and then a dictatorship in Napoleon. That's what happened. This is the lesson of history. What did George Santayana say? Those who don't learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. We might say damned to repeat them, because we are on the same path. The same thing in the same spirit of profanation is in Marxism, BLM, and socialism, AOC, and Biden, and Pelosi, and Kamala Harris. It's the spirit of progressivism. It was the spirit of Nazism and all other isms of human arrogance and power. This liberal cabal does the same thing over and over again throughout the course of history. It's never been any different. These ideas are broken and they always lead to the same place. When you seek the destruction of Christianity, the vacuum will be filled. The vacuum is always filled. Remember that. Vacuums are always filled. They're filled by people who consider themselves to be God. Kill God, and you're going to get a lot of other little gods that rush in to fill the vacuum. Those little gods wave the banner of BLM, neo-Marxism, and the Democratic Party. Let's take a break right now, and when we get back after acknowledging our sponsors, we'll get into Aristotle. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. If you want to subscribe as a member to The Rebellion, go to patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. You'll get more commentary on these books that I'm citing, Aristotle, Edmund Burke, C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton. You'll also get an autographed copy of my book, and you can also engage in real dialogue, real-time dialogue on Vimeo or Skype if you subscribe at a given level. That's patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. So let's move on to Aristotle. He was the father of political conservatism. He wrote 3,300 years ago. He understood that the seminal human argument was between those saying that political life and morality are grounded in the natural, i.e., what I've called the objective, immutable, revealed, and true things of life, and those who say that it's the opposite, that these things are entirely man-made, constructed, postmodern constructivism, feelings, opinions versus facts, malleable codes of conduct, fluid sexuality, reconstructing relevant morality rather than standard and unchangeable moral codes. Okay, that's where we are as a culture. We know that. We've been debating these things. The facts versus feelings, the real versus relative, the truth with a capital T versus truth with a lowercase T. Natural law and common sense versus the rule of the gang and communism. Basically, Aristotle understood all of this. He talked about it 3,300 years ago. Now, Aristotle, taught that there are basically two kinds of people: objectivists, who accept the world as it is, and subjectivists, who see the world through the lens of abstract theories. Conservatives are tethered to reason and to reality. Progressives are unmoored and unanchored and untethered to anything but what is popular and in vogue and politically correct. Aristotle saw all this. I'm changing his language a little bit, but this is what he wrote about 3,300 years ago. He wrote about politics from experience. That's something very critical to understand about Aristotle. He was speaking from experience. He'd been around the block a couple times. He was Alexander the Great's tutor, and he saw the inner works of government like very few people did then or ever have. He wasn't writing about the theoretical. He was writing about the way the world really was, not the way it ought to be, or he thought it ought to be. It was history as science. He was in the machine. He saw it with his own eyes. Now, one of his key arguments is that moral standards are absolute, not artificial. They're not the product of the social construct that Rousseau talks about. He believed that the starting point, the beginning, and the very source of morality and goodness in all political life was what? What? Get ready for it. The family. It was the model. The family was the model. The family was the ideal. The family was the seed for all else that grew in culture. The family was natural. It was a self-evident. It was God-given. It was natural. It was common sense. It was natural law. The family was natural and real. Politics, said Aristotle, rightly understood, needs to look to the family as its heart and as its soul. And he believed in the authority and the leadership represented in the family. What's that mean? This is critical because it's exactly the opposite of the democratic socialism and those fawning over Black Lives Matter right now. He believed in the leadership of the family, which is fatherhood. He believed in fatherhood, male-centric leadership, the opposite of what Black Lives Matter says it wants to dismantle. They say they want to dismantle male-centered patriarchal systems to queer the nuclear family. That's Black Lives Matter. Aristotle, 3,300 years ago, said, no, fatherhood is paramount because it represents sacrifice and dignity and honor and strength and virtue. Aristotle would have considered toxic masculinity to be an oxymoron. Masculinity was necessary It was a highest virtue and a highest good because it's what led the family to goodness and virtue. Toxic masculinity, Aristotle would have said, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? Aristotle believed in the natural union, the sexual union of marriage, the union of the male and the female, that bond, that classical view of self-giving and distinct roles, the dignity and the identity of both a husband and a wife, a mother and a father. The idea of a same-sex marriage would have been anathema to him. Aristotle would have said, excuse me? He would have recognized, Aristotle would have recognized that this contrived social construct of same-sex marriage diminished fatherhood, motherhood, and childhood. And he believed all of those things were necessary to the body politic. A healthy father, a healthy mother led to healthy children and a healthy body politic, a healthy culture and a healthy community. Aristotle believed that morality was natural. He didn't believe that it was constructed. He believed that it was a revelation. And it's nurtured and developed. This revelation, the seed that exists in the human soul and heart, was nurtured and developed through the natural family. He's a big champion of the family. Aristotle didn't believe in democracy. Now, this is important. We've got a few minutes left here. Let's focus on democracy. He considered democracy to be among the evils of political life. He believed that it was one of the worst of all systems. He saw it as the rule of the gang, the regime of the majority, the squashing of any dissent. He saw that it led to that. He saw it led to the squashing of dissent, the intolerance of anybody that we deem to be intolerant, the storming of the Bastille, if you will, the looting of your neighbor's businesses, the burning of the local car dealership, the rise of the resistance, the 99 against the one. Democracy, said Aristotle, was a perversion. The majority can always be and always will be selfish and foolish and tyrannical if unrestrained by wisdom, virtue, the laws of nature, nature's God. So, for Aristotle, good and just rule was called politeia or polity. He's the one that called it that. Polity. And it's from his description that I've already reviewed with you that we get the word political. So politeia, Greek, polity, is the description of political. Now, here's an interesting thing. Okay, Aristotle was Greek, so he wrote in Greek. His writing was in Greek. Okay. It's very interesting to know that when Cicero, a Roman, translated Aristotle's Greek work into Latin, what do you think he use? What word was the Latin equivalent of politeia or polity or politics? The word was republica. Republic, not democracy. Cicero. You need to understand this. We are a republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Stop talking about America being a democracy. It is a republic, and it's for a reason. And Aristotle warned of it and outlining all of the downside of democracy in The Politics 3,300 years ago. One of the reasons Aristotle wrote against democracy is that he saw that the majority always tends to, quote-unquote, define freedom badly. The majority will come to believe that political equality requires that whatever the multitude resolves is authoritative and the freedom involves doing whatever one wants, unquote. One more time. The majority will come to believe that political equality requires that whatever the multitude resolves is authoritative and the freedom being argued for involves doing whatever one wants. Sound familiar? He said that in democracy, everyone lives as one wants and toward whatever end he happens to crave. Liberty will become license. Have I talked about that over and over again? Liberty has become license. We now believe we have the right to do whatever we want to do, tolerating everyone living as he wants. But this leads to those people who claim to be the most tolerant becoming the tolerant police, the majority against the independent-minded people. Cancel culture. Aristotle warned of cancel culture. He understood that both vice and virtue are real. He described the man as a political animal. I'm going to go very quick on this. This is the end. We're wrapping up Aristotle in 10 minutes. That's kind of insane in and of itself. Anyway, he understood vice and virtue are real, and he described man, the human being, as a political animal, a politia animal. Why? He said this, "For just as man is the best of animals when perfected, when separated from law and justice, he is the worst of all. Man is born naturally possessing the means for prudence and virtue, which are nevertheless very susceptible to being used for their opposites." He then went on and said this, "This is why, without virtue, man is the most unholy and the most savage of the animals, and the worst in regard to sex and food." Unquote. Aristotle, 3,300 years ago. Vice and virtue, prudence, goodness, death, destruction, these are all part of the political animal. He said, this is why without virtue, he is the most unholy and the most savage of all animals and the worst in regard to sex and food. He recognized that the tension of the human heart and soul was real. The best of animals may all too easily become the most savage without the civilizing effects of the laws of nature and nature's God, the self-evident truths that are endowed to us by our Creator. We quickly become the least civilized creatures of all creation. We change from political animals to political beasts. Just turn on the news and watch the progressives, the leftists, the Black Lives Matter, the Democrats, AOC, and those who agree with her burning down car dealerships and businesses and screaming hate and vengeance and revenge. This is not virtue. Aristotle warned of it. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.